720 WGN. Hope you're having a great end of your Labor Day weekend. It was such a beautiful day today. Really enjoyed it. Great to be with you tonight, and really excited to bring on two of my favorite people, the husband and wife team of Dr. Bob and Judith Wright. Let's start with Judith, renowned couples and lifestyles coach, speaker, consultant, professor, best-selling author. It's appeared on every single media outlet known to man and woman, and joining us now on 720 WGN, and her husband, who is an internationally recognized visionary, a speaker and educator, consultant, professor, best-selling author, Dr. Bob Wright, the great husband and wife team from the Wright Foundation for the Realization of Human Potential. Good evening, Dr. Bob, Dr. Judith.
Hi,
good evening, Mark.
I know you guys are having a relaxing weekend, but I figured that, you know, on a Labor Day weekend when everybody's probably back home right now, we could just have a little discussion about how we can connect better, maybe be a little more intimate. You guys wrote a book, The Heart of the Fight, a couple's guide to 15 common fights, what they really mean and how they can bring you closer. So let me get this straight. Dr. Judith, let's start with you. You're endorsing fighting as a means for greater intimacy. Is that accurate?
Yeah, it is. That's absolutely accurate. Now, that sounds a little counterintuitive, right? We're not supposed to fight. Fights are a bad thing, supposedly.
Well, I'm very passive aggressive, Judith, as you may know. So it's hard for me to wrap my arms around this, but I'm trying to do better. What for the passive aggressives out there? How do you get them to step into it?
Well, I think that's actually a really good question, because passive aggressives, that's what's tough. You just don't know. The other person doesn't know what's really going on. They'll ask you, what's wrong? Nothing. You know, you get that silent treatment. You get the cold, and it's close the door thing. The lights are off. It's really tough. There's, you know, we have 15 common fights in the book. One of them is called the hidden middle finger fight, and that oftentimes can be the fight, that silent treatment type fight of the passive aggressive. But passive aggressives have feelings. Passive aggressive have hurts. They have yearnings. They have things that they really need and want in relationship. And the real trick is to be able to say those straight, to be able to ask for what you want, to say when you're hurt, to say when you're angry, to be able to be share more of your vulnerability. Because without doing that, it's really hard to make contact and have the intimacy that we really deserve.
And you guys have the 15 common fights here, the blame game, the up and down toilet seat or other domestic disputes, the dueling over dollars. And you just touched on the hidden middle finger. Dr. Bob, what about if you really loved me, you'd... I think that conversation goes on all over the place.
Well, yeah, that's always a test. You have to prove to me you love me, which has nothing to do with intimacy, but it does have to do with a contract. It does have to do with an agreement that is never fully spoken, that you will not disturb me, and I won't disturb you. And if you really loved me, then you'll do what I want you to do.
Yeah, without telling you. I mean, you have to read each other's minds if that's the case, which is really troublesome.
And so when you guys get in front of couples and they're you hear something along those lines, what is the general... I mean, I think it's hard for people to move from... They're just uncomfortable in asking for what they want, right?
Right. It's really vulnerable. Or they're afraid if I ask and I don't get it, then I'll even be more disappointed. Or what if I made fun of or humiliated? Or what if he or she then starts asking for more themselves? It really starts to up the ante in relationships. It ups the intimacy, it ups the engagement, but it also ups the risk factor.
And Dr. Bob, would you say that you and Judith fight often? How would you describe? Because I feel like you guys are super close. But what would you say about your level of engagement that way?
Well, I'd have to think back to how many times we've had conflict today, and how many times it went into a full fight. But it is ongoing because we seek to get the best out of ourselves. So when one of us has an opinion, the other one oftentimes doesn't necessarily agree with that course of action, and it takes a while to work it out, and sometimes we do it very fast. We're proud of how fast we resolve arguments and come to agreement that actually satisfies each of us.
Well, and actually, you know, Mark, this has been tough for me because I was probably more like you're describing yourself. I was much more conflict-averse. I thought if you had a fight or conflict, that meant something was terribly wrong. It was dangerous. You're going to lose a relationship. Somebody's going to leave. So I really had to learn about conflict. And just what Bob's saying is, like, you know, and I really literally can look at today and think little tussles we had, things that we disagreed about. But I also see what's cool is that by engaging in it, each of us kind of going for what we needed or wanted, really putting out what it is that we preferred, we actually came to better solutions with things. We learned more. It's not just this detente. It's not giving in. We actually learn from one another and can resolve things pretty quickly that are satisfying to both of us.
I feel like I should step more into my own world here because I'm reading about the up and down toilet seat. And, you know, I'm a dating guy. And then if I start, you know, hanging out with someone, inevitably I'll probably leave the toilet seat up and then they'll put it down. And then I'll think to myself, oh my God, this person is, you know, over the top neurotic. I can't handle this over a toilet seat. And then I want to run out of the relationship. Now, which sounds ridiculous, but you guys have it in here as number two, the up and down toilet seat. Apparently this is a thing. I'm like not alone on this one.
No, not at all. You're not at all alone. However, it's really important to understand the symbolism of being thoughtful to the other person, because when you leave that up, you've said that you matter more than that other person matters, especially when that other person is of the female persuasion, and she must put the seat down in order to do her business.
Or otherwise you fall in, which is not pleasant at all. But I think there's something to that, Bob. I think you're getting at it. It's that, see, otherwise what you're talking about, Mark, it turns into kind of like a control struggle, or you start judging one another.
Right.
You know, obsessive, or she's neurotic, blah, blah, blah. But really, there's something else. It's really getting to what Bob talked about. Like, what is it symbolic of? Because every fight isn't ever really about the surface of it. It's what it means to each other. And the toilet seat thing, like, for me, if man leaves his toilet seat out, if Bob were to do that, although he doesn't do that, but if he were to do that or did earlier in our relationship, it does. For me, it feels like I don't matter. I'm not as important as he is. I'm not considered, that my needs, I'm not being tended to in a way. And it's like kind of more personal. So I really, and everybody yearns to matter. Everybody yearns to be, have someone know them, see them, understand them, and care about them. And that's what these things symbolize. When they don't happen, it hurts. So it's not about the toilet seat. It's about what it means.
And as far as that goes, so today Judith wanted to ride our bikes up to get lunch, and I wanted to work out. And so I was not compliant. I didn't do exactly what she wanted. I went down and I started working out, and I got a good 45 minutes in. And then went, holy cow, let's go. It'll take us 45 minutes to ride up and back. I can get my full 90 minutes in. And she was willing to go on her own if she had to, and that actually gave me the freedom to choose to do what she wanted.
But I think both of us had to say what we needed or wanted. Otherwise, you feel like it is a power control struggle, or somebody's giving in, or that you're winning or losing, and it's not about that. This is about learning more about yourself and the other and going toward win-win.
It's 312-981-7200. If you want to get a question here for world-renowned coaches here, couples or whatever, anything going on with you as far as just your own growth, you can jump in here, 312-981-7200. But right now we are talking about the heart of the fight. So if you're having a fight with your spouse and you want a little bit of a push or an idea, a suggestion on how to handle it better, we can do that, 312-981-7200. And we're talking intimacy, and like you say, intimacy – and like to me, that feels vulnerable, right? I can share something with you, but I'm not going to tell you my deepest, darkest thoughts. I think people have been married for 30 years, and they won't share like their that one thing that happened to them when they were a kid or something where they just feel like if I tell you this, you're not going to love me anymore. I mean I feel like that happens all the time.
Well, first of all, we don't need to go to our deepest, darkest secrets, because most people are very confused about what a great relationship is. They say that they want intimacy, but what they mean is they want to get laid. And they don't understand that intimacy is a very, very vulnerable, ongoing possibility the more we can be with each other. And we don't want to share our deepest secrets until we've developed enough trust with each other to do that. So we're not saying spill your guts. We're saying test a little bit at a time. Really get to know that other person, but understand that a great relationship isn't about no fights. It's actually about deepening trust.
And deepening the truth that you share with one another. But it is a journey. It's not like on a first or third date or tenth date or whatever you have to reveal everything. But you do test the waters consistently and reveal more and more and more and more till there's nothing more to reveal, ideally, over time. And then when something comes up, like Bob and I have kind of an unspoken no secrets agreement. So if something comes up, I look at like, wow, why don't I want to tell him? Like, I mean, it can be simple. I don't want to tell him how much those shoes cost. I don't want him to know. But then I look at that and it's something for me, you know, much less the more raw, vulnerable stuff that's on my heart.
Well, and that's another area in my dating world where money has come up. You want, you know, what I would consider something that is not necessary. You don't need to have whatever the most expensive bracelet or why are you buying that car? You can't afford it. I think dollars is always an issue, I think, with couples, at least a lot of the time.
Well, dueling over dollars is indeed one of the key fights. And there is also something very valid in your conversation. Is this a person who shares enough of your values to really be able to go more deeply into things with each other? And what matters is once you've questioned the expenditure, how does that person respond? And the person may be defensive at the beginning, but is there progress? Do you move to a deeper understanding where you share about your fears of not having money? She shares about her fears of not doing what will be good for her because she's always submitted to others in the past. You have no clue where she is on her journey, and you may find that by sharing with her, it'll clarify where you are on your own personal journey.
Guys, could we take a quick time out and come back with you in about 3 minutes? Is that cool?
That's
please,
great.
Yes.
All right, hang on. That's Dr. Bob and Dr. Judith. Bob, you're going to love the question that we're starting out with coming back here. We had a text come in from a gentleman who wants to learn about the ISAP and what that is. I was talking about that the other night. He wanted some clarification. So we'll explain the Idealized State Action Plan coming back here, 720 WGN. Happy Labor Day, 720 WGN. I'm Mark Carmen. Joined by Dr. Bob and Dr. Judith Wright. We're talking about their book, The Heart of the Fight. But a little bit off topic, Bob, I was talking about the ISAP, the Idealized State Action Plan. And you guys, of course, have your organization, the Wright Foundation for the Realization of Human Potential, rightliving.com, if you want to check out what Dr. Bob and Dr. Judith are doing. And they have an introductory free training coming up September 16th to the 18th that weekend, foundationsweekendtraining.com, if you want to learn more. Tremendous opportunity coming up for you. But Bob, how would you explain an ISAP to one of our listeners?
Well, I'd like to actually tie it into the hypothetical dating situation that you have with a young woman who is buying a car that is clearly too expensive beyond her means.
Okay.
And so if we want to understand the human mind, we want to think about the fact that it operates in three different zones. The present state, which includes our past. Pathways, which includes ways that we're moving towards. The third state, which is the ideal state. Too often, people don't really define their ideal state. Let's talk about you on this date. Let's just say that you want to understand her and how this car moves towards an ideal state for her. But you skew the conversation to where you want to discuss it, to check her out, really, and say, look, you know, I'd like to actually suspend the conversation and my judgments about your buying that car and really ask you, what is your ideal state financially? What is your ideal state in a love relationship? What is your ideal state about how you want to live your life financially? And you ask an open question.
And
that may be something she's never really thought about. And so she comes to a realization that, in fact, this car is a reaction against her father, who has constantly harped on her about money. And you're now getting some thoughtful interaction outside of your judgment. And you could say, well, here's my ideal state. My ideal state is that I'm putting away 10% of my paycheck all the time, and that I am in a position to retire early. Okay, you have an ideal state. And now the question is, what's her ideal state about retirement and where she wants to be financially? So you two can now work on, do you have a common ideal state for the two of you around where you want to be around retirement and later life? And then we go back to, okay, you have a pathway buying this car. How does this help towards your ideal state? For my ideal state, it works against it. Is there another way that, and let's assume you two agree that you want financial security, and then you can ask her again. So now that we've had this ideal state identified, how does the car fit in for you? She says, well, I hadn't really thought about it.
I feel like I need to tell the story on what actually happened. I mean, I was on a trip to Mexico. We were probably dating for a year, and this is a while back now, Dr. Bob and Dr. Judith. And she wanted a gift. And so I picked out some bracelet, and she looked at the silver and was like, "Ah, that's not the good silver. I want the good silver." And I'm like, hold on a second. I just paid for this trip to Mexico. We're having a great time. You're going to get all bent out of shape on the quality of silver and something that I'm buying in a shop in Puerto Vallarta. This is not going to work for me. And it was a big blow up. I went back to the hotel room by myself, and she came later. That was that one.
Well, and so you reacted against what she said without being interested in what her ideal state was, really. You just know. Yep. You don't know that she was willing to have something less expensive as long as it was the silver she wanted. So you never even found out where she was coming from.
Well, there's a whole other symbolism here, because money so often symbolizes love. It symbolizes power. It symbolizes a lot of things. So if I have a big enough gift, enough money or whatever, then I have enough love. And that's where the confusion gets into it. But if you can get underneath these kinds of things and find out what's really happening, some real conversation can take place, and you might even be able to have the same flight home.
There's a very good chance that you were actually feeling, holy cow, I'm never going to be good enough for this woman.
Yep.
She might have been thinking, this guy's never going to understand my standards.
Yep. All that was going on. Okay, I feel hurt. There we go. You guys, okay, there's people are texting, what's the website? The website, rightliving.com, and if you are interested in the foundation's training, which is September 16th to the 18th, foundationsweekendtraining.com. A little more to cover here, actually a lot more to cover. In the book, The Heart of the Fight, you've got the rules of engagement. These are the rules around how to have a discussion, how to have the fight responsibly. Am I correct in this?
Yeah.
Right. It starts with accentuating the positive. For example, you felt hurt because she didn't accentuate the positive with you.
In fact, and the next one is minimizing the negative. Now, those are great in a fight, but they're also good just basis in relationship. If you can build up enough trust and affection and a sense of goodwill in the relationship, you can weather a lot of fights. So accentuating the positive and minimizing the negative are some of the just main relationship engagement rules. But the other things actually help you in this kind of tussles that we all get into, or should get into.
I would guess that you were already feeling hurt that she hadn't shown you enough appreciation by accentuating the positive, and she was not minimizing the negative in that, and so you two hadn't established a foundation to sort through the other elements of the rules of engagement. Once you get into a fight, nobody gets more than 50% of the blame.
And I think the next one, these next two, the one Bob just said, no, you can blame, but only 50% because you're both in it. You are both in that conversation and that fight. But the next one's really important, that each of you is 100% responsible for your own satisfaction and happiness. So in that case, she was kind of trying to go for what she wanted, but it felt like a blame, like 100% blame on you. She didn't take her responsibility, and you probably didn't take your full responsibility to get satisfied or to really be happy or really get some sense of something that made you feel better in that conversation. So the only thing you know to do then is to split.
Which gets to the deeper next rule of engagement, number 5, express and agree with the truth always. And so you didn't tell her that you felt hurt and afraid of what this meant about her and the relationship. And she failed to tell you what it was that was true that she was going for with her wanting pure silver or whatever it was.
Number, I think the quality of silver was 74. I don't know how I remember that. It was 10 years ago. But
you remember that the rest of your
my
life.
My guess is
now.
It was 97
yeah,
or above.
That's right. It was in the 90s. My bad. What's rule number 6, fight for, not against?
Yes, and that was exactly.
She was kind of fighting for something, but not really. She was fighting against the gift that she got, and you weren't fighting for what you really needed or wanted. Because people, oftentimes, you fight the gift. She's fighting the gift. You fight against the person. You fight against their point instead of for what do you really want. There's something she wanted beyond that. There's something you wanted beyond that, and that didn't get fought for, so it can't unlock this thing.
For example, you could have been fighting for understanding. She could have been fighting for understanding.
Right.
However, it got lost in two people with hurt feelings.
Yeah.
And neither of you was assuming goodwill on the other person's part, which is the seventh rule.
That rule is so, so important, to really assume goodwill, that somebody's not, you know, this is a person who cares about you. They're not just trying to screw with you, mess with your mind, just whatever. It doesn't mean people can't be stupid sometimes. We all are. But to really, really assume that there's goodwill and people aren't always functioning at their best or they're under stress or something's triggering them. But beyond that, there's a sense of care and goodwill.
Dr. Bob and Dr. Judith Wright, the Wright Foundation for the Realization of Human Potential. How long have you guys had this foundation now?
We always have to count. We've been in business together, starting the seeds of this since 1995, and then we had businesses building toward that before that. So it's been going a long time, and we intended to go, you know, forever. We really want people to really realize their potential, because we have a great life. We want people to have the potential in their relationships realized, the potential in their individual lives, the potential in their vocational lives, their personal lives, and their relationships to be realized.
Well, I can tell you that I couldn't get Judith to work with me until we had fought for 2 years and had actually come up with a school as the ideal state for us to resolve some of our differences that were highly valuable that we didn't want to go away. And so that was 97.
Yeah, when that happened, yeah.
Wow.
When I finally, after 2 years of fighting, got her and her staff to
agree. Really where I learned that fighting can bring you closer and can resolve things. You don't just need to distance. You need to get closer by telling the truth and fighting for what you need and want in your heart.
And I had decided that I was going to get all of my undelivered criticisms out to her, and that took 2 years.
Is that all? Come on.
Well, he's kept current since then, but I got to tell you, it was really wonderful. I had no idea that you could work things out like that. All I knew to do was not work with him rather than work through the things that I was scared about. And once we worked those through and came to solutions and I understood myself and him, we had better solutions to this whole thing. We felt closer. I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is the secret I hadn't known before.
This is a beautiful thing. Our producer is Young Lise. And she doesn't want to ask this question because she's got a little fear going on, but I'm forcing her to do this, guys. Lise, what do you want to ask Dr. Bob and Dr. Judith?
Well, I guess I'm thinking about millennial couples versus couples that have been married for 30 years. You know, I think the texting thing changes everything. What do you think about text fighting versus real life fighting?
Oh, boy.
Or just avoiding it altogether, actually.
Yep. Yeah, good point. Listen, texting's great for a zillion things. It's great for communicating, logistics, and staying in touch and all kinds of things. It is not great for a fight because you're missing you're missing the visual cues. You're missing the possibilities of what look on a face. You're missing, there's so much more communication. So it's when the fight starts escalating, texting is time to take it off, you know, offline and get face to face. It's really, really important. It's not that it's not going to happen, but there's a point that, hey, wait a minute, we need to talk, not just keep going, because you can't, you're just missing some of the important data.
Yeah, and one of the cool things about a lot of the millennials that we have in our programs is that they're very ideologically driven. They want meaning in their lives. Yes. They want meaning in their careers. And it's very hard when you're having a text battle to engage in, whoa, what's the meaning?
What's this about?
How did you hear what I said? Yeah. And it's much easier to do that in conversation.
I mean, I could say for my own, at dating a millennial at one point in my life, she would be more honest on GChat than she would be talking.
Yeah.
It would be easier for her to speak that way, which was not ideal, but it was interesting, right?
No, sometimes that does happen. People feel more free to express more without having the vulnerability of the face-to-face. There's just a time that beyond that it needs to be broached. It's fine. I think it's a combined thing, is to use that in the way that it works well, but not exclusively.
And I got to tell you, women oftentimes have much more complex things going on inside, and it really helps them to be able to think about it and to digest it. And that's been one of the most difficult things in our relationship, is for me to stop being a machine gun with my points and Judith to claim time out until I finally learned to slow down.
I sometimes need to kind of sort through, what am I feeling? What do I really need? What's my real truth, to be able to say that? But at least, what's your preference? What do you want in relationship? What kind of communication do you yearn for?
Lise.
Well, that's the issue, isn't it? I guess I've had like one relationship, and it was pretty much, I just didn't know how to stand up for myself. So yeah it got pretty, you know, uneven. And that's hard for me, because I'm just a people pleaser. You know, I just want them to be happy.
I so relate to you. That's really where I started in my journey as well. I just wanted everybody else to be happy, and I thought if they'd be happy, everything would work out. But what happened was I didn't go for my own happiness, and I felt like I felt overpowered, stepped on, not considered. I really wasn't on my own side. So that's my wish for you, is you learn to
And it took us a number of years for Judith to believe what I said to her at the beginning of our relationship. Please remember, I want you to have everything you want and to have you totally satisfied. But I want you to remember, in the meantime, I'm not going to buckle under and necessarily say, yes, ma'am. And so we actually took quite a number of years to get to the point where Judith was comfortable putting it back to me strongly.
It took a while, but I think even to start it on dates, Lisa, is really important, to just kind of expressing your own opinions, your preferences, what you want, being willing for somebody else to be uncomfortable, and living with that so that you're more comfortable. That's a tough one, but really, really important in relationships.
And accentuating the positive, you want to remember to share. You know, I love helping another person be satisfied, and it's really a vulnerability of mine that I'm afraid of being stepped on and walked on. See how he responds.
I got to take some responsibility. We're incredibly late for news, but I just love talking to you guys. Don, don't I see you, Don Norton. Hey, but 30 seconds or less, Dr. Bob and Dr. Judith, if people want to learn what your foundation is about more, and they come to the foundation's weekend training, which you provide for free to give people a glimpse of what you guys do, what will they get on the weekend, September 16th to the 18th?
Oh, you'll learn some of the skills we're talking about right now. Really, what is it that you yearn for deep in your heart, and how do you express that more fully? How do you tell more truth? You'll learn more about your social and emotional intelligence. So you have more of the skills to do exactly the kinds of things that we've been talking about. You get practice, you get skills, you get research, you get science, you get experiences to do that.
And, Lisa, you can send the guys you're interested in there to find out more about emotional relating.
And most importantly, you might have better sex and make more money. Does that work too?
No, I
absolutely.
It's really true. It's true. It really is true.
I feel like we go for like a little exclamation point there. All right, you two. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Thanks for taking the time.
Thanks
great
so much. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks, please.
There they go. Dr. Bob and Dr. Judith Wright. My pleasure to have them on. Foundationsweekendtraining.com.